Where has this idea that the First World War was an exercise in fertility come from?
Well, it's been around for a long time. And we've always, the British people, I think, over the last 60, 70 years, the idea has grown up that the Second World War was a good war, insofar as any war is ever a good war, our finest hour, our parents' and grandparents' finest hour. But World War One was somehow our bad war, that it didn't achieve anything, whereas the Second World War did achieve something. And of course, it's all been very much fed by What Lovely War, that great musical, and Blackadder. A terrifying number of people actually think Blackadder is real history. Now, I love Blackadder, and I watch every program about 20 times, but it ain't history. And I've argued in the film that I think one of the most important things we can do at this centenary is not just to look back on this unspeakable horror, this catastrophe. And of course, it was a catastrophe for Europe and for Britain. It was, Britain lost far more people in the First World War than in the Second. It was the most bloody event in British history. But we should look beyond this and say, well, why did it happen? And sometimes there are wars in history that have to be fought. And just as we had to fight Hitler in 1939, I personally believe that it was as necessary to fight the Kaiser's Germany in 1914. And any idea we could have just stood back and watched while Germany conquered the continent and had reached a happy deal with Germany afterwards. Sir Michael Hyde, who's probably Britain's greatest living historian, and who I interview in the film. And Michael argues very strongly that any idea the Germans were just going to let us continue ruling the waves, the Royal Navy, controlling the world's financial system, if Germany had won the war on the continent against France and Russia, that Germany would have started a war with Britain pretty quickly afterwards. And any idea we could have just watched while they did it is for the birds. And I fear it was necessary to fight them. Also, of course, although it's wrong to think of the Kaiser's Germans as exactly like the Nazis, they weren't quite that bad, but they were pretty bad. In August 1914, as I also go into in the film, that when the German army invaded neutral Belgium, trampling over Belgium to implement the Schlieffen Plan, this great plan for conquering France in 60 days, that the German army, in the first few weeks, killed in cold blood, executed 6,427 perfectly innocent Belgian civilians of all ages and both sexes, simply to show who was boss. And this policy was warmly endorsed all the way up the German army, through the generals to the Kaiser. And it does suggest to some of us that even if the Germans of 1914 weren't quite like the Nazis, that their victory would hardly have been a triumph for European civilization. So I don't find it easy to see how Britain could have stayed out. But however ghastly it was, this bloodbath, that maybe our forefathers had to go through it in order to avoid the worst disaster of a German victory.
It is seen as a bungled war, isn't it?
Well, it was certainly that, but it was... All I would say, I mean, my film's about why it happened more than about about the bloodbath, but nobody came up with a better solution. That in 1914-18, no general on either side proved able to overcome the fact that the defence was much stronger than the attack. And the other thing we sometimes fail to understand, far worse things than the Somme and Passchendaele happened in the Second World War, that they happened on the Russian front. They happened in the east. 27 million Russians died in the Second World War, whereas only 400,000 British people died. The Russians did most of the fighting and the dying that were necessary. And we always tend to hope that when you get into a war, there can be an easy, not too bloody way of winning it. Well, when you get great industrial nations pitted up against each other, as they were in the First and Second World War, most historians I respect believe that there was no shortcut, that an enormous amount of killing and dying had to happen before one side or the other won. We always tend to think maybe there was a cleverer way. Well, I'm not sure there was.
We like to read history backwards, don't we? And there's a large body of thought that suggests that the First World War inevitably led to the rise of Hitler. I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, in a way it did, because Hitler's aims in the Second World War were not much different from those of of the Kaiser's Germany in the First World War, with one significant difference, that Hitler, of course, willed the Holocaust, and there was no Holocaust built into the Kaiser's Germany's plan. But really, an awful lot of Europe's history in the 20th century was about Germany's determination to dominate Europe. And it was, in that sense, it was a continuation, the Second World War. But the idea that that means we shouldn't have fought the first time, I'm afraid I just don't buy that.